How do you top that, right? Whew. Well, we're continuing on with our giving series. So if you want to open your Bibles first to Proverbs 18:6. If you don't have your Bibles, you can look on the screen. This one here. Actually, I'm going to read off the Amplified. I love this translation. Proverbs 18:6. A man's gift, given in love or courtesy, makes room for him and brings him before great men. The reason I love this part of this translation was it gives you a definition of a man's gift. Because a lot of times people feel like, well, if I do something good for that person, then they'll give me this. But that's not a heart that has love or courtesy in it, is it? And that's where, again, I know I say this all the time, but that's where money problems stem from, is the wrong heart. Having the wrong motives behind it. And today, the Lord showed me something this week about this verse that just literally excited me. Giving makes room for you. And oftentimes, when we give with hearts of love and courtesy, we aren't expecting anything back because we're giving unto the Lord. And yet, our gift does not go unseen. You can go ahead and turn to 2 Kings 4. And this is going to be part one because it's a bigger, there's a lot to it. But you're going to be excited when you see the end of this. It's about the Shunammite son. Do you guys remember that story about the Shunammite lady? I'll read it. Verse 8. One day Elisha went to Shunam, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. Now, this is important. She was a what? A well-to-do woman. What does that mean when you're well-to-do? You have the ability to give, right? Not just the baseline giving that we're supposed to give, our tenth or offerings, but she had an abundance to give. And it says that she urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. How many people know that when you are a blessing to someone, they're not going to forget you? And every time he stopped by, the man of God, he always stayed with her to eat. So she said to her husband, I know that this man who comes often our way is a holy man of God. I love this. Let's make a small room for him. She went from a meal to now there's a room. Because her heart just wasn't satisfied with just feeding him. Because she knew after he was fed, he had to go somewhere and find somewhere to sleep. And she's thinking in her mind, no, I want to be a blessing. I don't want to just feed him. I want to give him a place to eat. Excuse me. My throat's dry. And it says, let's make a room for him on the roof. And I love the details. How many people know that women are detailed? Amen. We're going to put a bed in it. We're going to put a table and a chair and a lamp for him. She's got it all covered. Not only is he going to sleep here, he can study here. We're going to have a light for him up there. He's going to have someplace to sit besides his bed. Really, in reality, this was luxury for this man of God, who probably, more often than not, probably slept in the town square or wherever he could find a place to sleep, right? And so he stayed. A chair for him. Then he can stay here whenever he comes to us. One day, when Elisha came, he went up to his room. Now it's his room. You see that? There's a transformation here. From the room she built for him to his room. He went up to his room and he lay down there. And he said to his servant, Gehazi, call the Shunammite. And so he called her and she stood before him. And Elisha said to him, tell her, you have gone into all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? And she replied, I have a home among my own people. What can be done for her? Elijah asked. And Gehazi said, she has no son and her husband is old. Now you need to grab hold of this and grab hold tight. Your gift makes room for you. It says here, and brings him before great men. One translation says, and brings you into greatness. Who is the greatest man? Who is the greatest of all greatness? Our God. So when you give your gift, You're not just giving something, you are releasing something. And in her heart, you can see she didn't expect something back. She didn't come with an agenda to the Lord. She was giving because it gave her pleasure to give. It thrilled her heart to give to this man of God. She wanted to bless him. First a little, but then the idea grew into something bigger. And often that's how God works with us. It starts with something small that you give, and then that grows, and that grows, and that grows. Why? Because we want to be like our dad. We want to be like our Heavenly Father, who loves to give good gifts. And we see here that Elisha, who is a man of God, is inspired by the Lord and says, man, she's done all of this for us. What can we do for you? Because as a man of God, he had some headway. He had some places that he could go to, things he could do, people he was connected with, that he could bless her back. And he says, can I go to the king for you? Hello? Can I go to the top for you? Can I speak up for you? What can I do for you? And she says, I'm at home among my people. But the servant says, I know something she doesn't have. She didn't even ask for it herself. He says, I know something she doesn't have. She doesn't have a son, and her husband is old. Wow. God knows the desires of your heart this morning, even if you don't have a voice to say it. And your gift will make room for you. Then Elisha said, call her. And this time she came to him. And she stood in the doorway. About this time next year, Elisha said, you will hold a son in your arms. No, my Lord, she objected. Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant. She was an older lady. Her husband was well past the bearing age. This was a dream that had been forgotten because it was too far gone, too far out of reach. But your gift will make room for you. And what does it say in the very next sentence? But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about the same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her. You heard things about yourself today. I didn't talk to Steve. This wasn't planned. But you know what? God has a plan. And maybe it was something he prayed over you that you never even thought about in a long time. But a man of God voiced something for you today. You listen real good to me. Your gift will make room for you. The dreams and the things that you thought were so far gone, dead and buried, impossible. How can it be? You might have even sat here today and go, God, what, for real? Maybe like her, you were saying, God, don't mislead me because this can't be. This can't be. A son? My husband is too old. I'm too old. This can't be. And God is saying to you today, oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because nothing is too difficult for me. 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 The plans I have for you are to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And every week, you as a body of believers, you come and you sow your seed. You give your gifts. Some of you, they start out as a meal. And now you've worked up to a room. And God is saying to you today, you have no idea the things that are coming to you. But your gift has made room for you today. Your gift has made room for you today. The story doesn't stop here. You got to be here next week to see the rest of the story. Because it's amazing what God does. It's amazing what he does. And for some of you, maybe it'll be a year from now. Others of you, you could wake up tomorrow. Maybe you go home today and that answer, that prayer, that thing you've been believing for, do you know that it can change just like that? Everything can become different just like that because you are tithers and givers. I'm reminded of the story of a man that I shared it with you, I think about 6 months ago, maybe a year ago, was giving his testimony on EMIC about his son whose daughter had been proclaimed dead and they were taking her in the ambulance. Do you remember this story? And what did he say to her? He said, "No, you are not going to die. I am a tither and a giver, and I rebuke death off of you." And she woke up. Just like that. The authority of believers. God has a plan for this church, you guys. A big plan. And as we continue to be faithful to sow our meals and then our rooms, and maybe the next thing is a house, you know, it's endless because our hearts are in the right place. We're not giving to get. We're giving because we love the Lord so much that we just can't wait to see what he has next. Amen? I don't know about you, but are you excited about giving? Giving makes room for you. And it makes room for you into greatness or great people or great men. Amen? Grab your tithes and offering today. Father, I thank you so much for this series of giving and this story that starts today. God, about how you have a plan for our lives, and if we'll be obedient to sow the things you're telling us, like the Shunammite woman, maybe it's a cup of coffee. Maybe it's paying someone's water bill. Maybe it's wiping out someone's debt. Whatever it is, God, if we will be faithful to do what you've called us to do, what you're telling us to do, God, you will be faithful to us. And Lord, even if the woman couldn't say what she really desired, God, you provided someone else to speak that over her. And today things were spoken over people. And I bind the devil and any plan that would come to kill, steal, and destroy the words that were spoken today. You said that we have the power of life and death in our tongue. And I pray that we'd walk out of this place, every one of us, speaking yes and amen to the things that were spoken over our lives today. And God, then we would start looking for those things. And that like this woman, Father, that we wouldn't be swayed by what even we feel. Whoa, no way, God. Are you serious? For real? Yes, for real today. Yes, it is true. And God, I just praise you and I thank you that our gifts are making room for us. That they are opening doors that we had forgotten that were even doors. That we will open our minds to the dreams and the visions that you have for us and that you've given us, and that we are going to see in these next few days and weeks and months and years an outpouring, Father, of the promises in our lives. And we praise you today, Father, that it starts with a seed. It starts with a seed, and we pray you bless our seed today in Jesus' name. Bless this seed. Bless every sower. And we call in a hundredfold harvest in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Now, once again, don't miss next week. But if you do or you have to, we have an amazing CD thing that's right back there now that can have your CD even before you leave the building now. Woohoo! Amen, right? Lane said, thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Well, praise God. We better put our foot on the gas here because the Lord has had some extra stuff for us today, didn't he? Oh, he's so good. He's so good. Well, let's pray over this word. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your words to us today. We receive it all by faith in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask you to give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to respond to what your Spirit is saying to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're continuing our nine fruits and nine gifts message. And our foundation texts for this are Romans 15, 13, and I added Acts 1, 8. I was looking at our title slide there, and I was, you know, we've been doing this for like 11, 12 weeks now, and I was looking at the verse that I had posted on the slide, and I was like, I don't, you know, it's like 10 weeks later, it's like, that doesn't really fit. So I went back in and changed it. Amen. So Acts 1, 8. But Romans 15, 13 says this, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord forever." Amen. So it sounds like good things God has planned for you and me. Amen. And sometimes it's good just to you know, throw your head back and laugh out loud. You know, those old LOL tags that everybody does on, you know, the little emojis and things. Sometimes we just need to get ourselves laughing, to say, you know what, I'm being way too serious right now. Ha ha, I receive the joy of the Lord. If it's a faith laugh, then that's what, I'm not faking, I'm faithing, right? So it's good to just remind ourselves, if I'm in the Holy Ghost right now and the Word of God is inside of me and I'm on my way to heaven, that's a good day. Amen? No matter what's going on around me or, you know, in the world or at work or at home, I receive the joy of the Lord. Why? Because I'm a believer. It's my right. Amen. And a lot of the words that came out today were words about taking what's yours. Amen. And being solid on it. And hearing the voice of God and you know, being attentive to that word, right? So we choose to remain in this place of believing. Somebody say, it's my choice. It's my choice. I choose. I choose right now to be a believer. Amen. And so I will be, right? Praise the Lord. And then we abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So that heaviness, depression, sorrow, grief that tries to weigh us down at times, we just need to shake it off. Say, you know what? That is not mine. I do not receive that. Right now, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And you may have to turn the country station off if that's where it's good. I mean, there's one in 15 country songs are good. But what about the other 14, right? Amen. If something's weighing me down, I got to turn sports off, you know. Man, those guys are just, all they're doing is gossiping about each other. Let's just skip it. I'll turn the word on. What am I doing? I'm choosing to abound in hope instead of in gossip or depression or issues, right? Amen. And then Acts 1:8 is our foundation text also for this series. And it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Amen. Does that leave anybody out? Somebody say no, right? In that word "you" includes you. Amen. I guess it leaves people out that don't want that, right? That just are not interested in that. But I'm interested in it. I'm a receiver, right? I saw a couple of, maybe it was last week, because I do watch football this time of year. Amen. And there was one guy I remember last week, and the ball was right there, and it's like he had alligator arms, you know, where he, instead of going like this, he was like, and he didn't catch the ball, right? Well, let's not have Christian alligator arms, right? Let's get out there and say, I receive that. That's for me. I take it. Holy Spirit, if I'm supposed to be, you know, baptized in the Holy Spirit, then I got it, right? I saw a couple of interesting plays yesterday. One guy, you know, if you're familiar with football at all, on the kickoff, you can do this thing where you wave, I got it, I got it. And then nobody touches you. And then you just catch it and you get the ball, the team comes out. Well, this guy did something and everybody thought he was going, I got it, but he wasn't waving. And he stood there for a minute and then he took off and ran all the way down the field. he tricked everybody, right? And there was another guy I saw that this one got called back, but he was actually on the kickoff laying down on his belly in the end zone. Weird, right? And his other buddy caught the ball, and he sneaks up like this, and he throws the ball across to him, and he streaks on down for like he was hiding from everybody, right? Amen? So like nobody's like stealth. That one got called back because it was an illegal pass. But it was sure entertaining to watch, right? But we've got to be people that know how to receive. And so many Christians don't get the receiving part. They think it's like religion has taught people that, what are you doing thinking about receiving? This ain't all about you. What Jesus did wasn't all about you. Oh yeah, actually it was. It was my sin that put him on the cross. It was all about me, right? It was the curse that was trying to come on my life that he broke with every place he shed his blood. That was all about me. He didn't do what he did for himself. Amen? And he didn't do what he did because he had to do it. He did what he did because he chose to do it. He chose to do it. He could have mailed it in any time. Jesus could have said, there's a scripture that says, hey, look, if I were to call out right now for legions of angels, it's over. But he didn't, did he? He chose to take the cross. So what does that tell me? I can choose to take the blessing. Amen. And that bothers some people, right? But just like some people in this room that I prayed for, I don't care. I don't care if it bothers you that I'm blessed. You could be blessed too. You just don't want to be, right? I love you, brother, sister, not anybody in this room, but you know, people that would criticize, you know, this type of preaching and teaching. Well, this is what Jesus paid for me. I would rather you be offended at me than Jesus be offended at me, right? The person that blesses you, say somebody showed up at your door with the keys to a Ferrari. You know what? Jesus told me to bless you with this Ferrari. Oh, no. I can't. I'm not worthy. There you go. What do you do, Elizabeth? Thanks. I received that, right? Yes, but if I take the Ferrari, I'm going to offend everybody at church today. Well, yeah, but you're also going to offend the guy that's bringing you the Ferrari. I'd rather offend the rest of the people. And just honor that guy that brought me the Ferrari. Well, this is what Jesus did. This is what he did. So somebody just say, yes, Lord, I'll take it all. I receive. And what are we doing? We're receivers. Amen. And we're givers, right? By the way, every time we sow into the offering, into the work of the gospel, that is an action of faith, right? That's a sign and a wonder. You did something, right? And like Shelley was talking about in that story of the brother who had a literally life and death situation, and the first thing that came to his mind was, I'm a tither! Take your hands off my kid! was his tithe protection money then? You know, bad things happen to people that don't tithe. You know, like mafia? No, it's not like that, right? No, he was just doing what the Word of God says to do. And when we do what Jesus says to do, it gives me this thing called confidence, right? That's why disobedience is dangerous, man. Not doing what God tells me to do will rob me of my confidence. I'm not earning the blessing of God by being good, right? No brownie points. But we stay in faith. Don't we? We do what God says to do, and then we act accordingly, right? And if, not if, but when we miss it, what do? We don't run from God, we run to God. Lord, I blew it. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to receive my forgiveness for that right now. And then we power on, man. Just keep going. Praise God. What are we doing? We are abounding in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody just say, I receive the Holy Spirit right now. Amen. And if you're saved, you can do that. If you're not saved, you need to get saved first and then do that, right? Because if you're not saved and you want to receive the Spirit, you'll receive a different Spirit, right? But once you're born again, now you're qualified to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So just receive it. Receive Him. He's not an it, He's a Him. Amen. But we're going into, we're continuing on with the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 and 7 through 10. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, which is what we experience today. Right there, amen. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Amen. But it's all by the same Holy Spirit. And there's places where they overlap, right? Your word of knowledge might be, you're healed. Well, there you go. Your word of knowledge might have built your faith up, right? So, you know, there's overlaps in these things. But they're all from the same Holy Spirit. Amen? And we're going to focus today on the gift of the word of knowledge. And again, just like last week when we were ministering on the word of wisdom, the word breaks down to the one that jumped out at me the most was it means the divine expression or Christ. It means Jesus, right? The anointed one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. Jesus is the living Word of God. So when it says word of knowledge, basically what I'm saying is, Lord, show me what Jesus knows about this situation, right? Lord, I need to know what you know about this. Amen? And Jesus told his disciples, I'm not hiding anything from you. I'll tell you. Everything that the Father has showed me, I'll show you. Amen? And we can grow in it. Right. Amen. And we can grow in this knowledge that he's putting us. And the word knowledge in the concordance means to know, right? Makes sense, right? To know. There's intimacy there. To allow. So what does that show me? It shows me that I have a choice here. Some people allow the knowledge of salvation, but they disallow healing. They allow the joy of the Lord, but they refuse prosperity. Well, this is silliness, right? If Jesus paid for one, he paid for it all, right? So we just got to say, Lord, show me where it is in the Word, and I will allow it in my life. Somebody just say, Lord, I allow it, right? I allow it all. Be aware of, right? So these are good things. We need to be aware of things Jesus has done for us. To feel. Now, we're not led by our feelings. The Lord reminds me of that frequently. Amen. And but there is a place where we can feel God. We can feel his presence. We can feel his workings in our life. We can feel that, yes, that is true and that is not true, right? So there is a place of intimacy with God, but our feelings are not the final authority, right? The word of God is the final authority. I don't feel healed, but yet God's word says, by his stripes I am healed. So I say that, right? And by allowing that word, I am disallowing sickness. Amen. Praise the Lord, right? Means to perceive. So these things involve time with Jesus, don't they? Time in the word. And if you're going to perceive something or become aware of something, like yesterday we were working on Lacey's car, and again, my hero father-in-law was there, and he said he had this brilliant idea. Where's the book? What do they call that? The manual, yeah. Where's the manual? I had a perception. All of a sudden I perceived and became aware that the answer is probably in the manual. So we did what we could, and there's still miracles happening, huh? But praise the Lord. But, you know, the word of God is the manual, right? So we become aware of what's mine by going to the manual, right? Amen. Not to what brother, sister, so-and-so says or great-grandfather thought or what this book says or what that book says. Go to the word of God. If you're judging spiritual things, you need to judge it by the word, not by what somebody said about it. Or what somebody thinks about it, or how it looks, right? Or what some group has decided is okay and not okay, right? Amen. We don't speak in tongues around here because it's weird. Well, if the word of God says it's you know, for me, I'm taking it. Well, you'll have to leave then. Well, all right. Oh. I mean, there's probably other things I can learn here, but not that apparently, right? Amen. So you see what I'm saying? We don't take somebody's word on it above God's word. I don't care how many doctorates they have or how big of a crowd it is or how many Twitter followers, right? No, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ and his word, right? Amen. And we have to really be watchful that we're not critical of others in the body of Christ, too. By name, I mean, right? Calling out people by name and saying they're wrong because of this and this and this and this and this and this, and here's all these things that they're wrong about. It's like, who made you judge and jury of your brother, your sister? Well, yeah, but those people aren't even saved because they're this and this. Well, wait a second. That ministry's been around for this number of years, all these souls, all this fruit. Who are you to call these people out by name and call them evil and deceive the body of Christ? I would not want to answer for that, brother. Right? No, right? We go to the Word of God for our answers. Amen? And we find it, and we find that answer, right? So perceive, that's what knowledge is, to be resolved. When you know the truth, you become resolved, right? This is what the Word of God says. I'm sticking with it. And it means then, guess what? It also means you can speak about it. That's what, another word. You can speak about it. Well, who are you to say who God is? Well, I know him. Do you? Right? You're qualified to speak now about who God is because you're getting to know him. That's why we got to be careful about what we say about him and what we say about others and walk in love and, you know, these kind of things. Because now you have a voice. Amen. You can talk. When you know somebody, you know what to say about them. Don't tell me God doesn't want me to prosper. I know him better than that. Don't tell me God doesn't care if I get a disease because of his sovereignty and his great infinite wisdom. He might decide to put a great big disease. My arms only go this high. Put a big disease on me because he's so much bigger than me. Who are you to question God? Well, I know him. I know him. And so do you. You know that he loves you. You know that he let his back be split open so I could be healed of even a sniffle, let alone a disease, right? So now what? Now you can speak about it, not against others, but for the Lord and for the Word of God. Amen? To be sure, the knowledge of God brings a certainty to us and a depth of understanding. Amen? An understanding. Come to an understanding with the Lord, right? So these are wonderful things. Amen? We'll look at Ephesians 1. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. And this is probably the longest portion of Scripture we'll look at today. But I want to get what he has for us today. Amen? Ephesians 1, 15 through 22. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So what does that tell me? That tells me wisdom and revelation will come from my knowledge of him, right? The knowledge of him is kind of that foundation for the wisdom and revelation to grow from. That's where false religions get off right there, where they take something maybe they saw in the Bible and create a whole new religion out of it, right? Well, how do you know that's wrong? Because you go to this, right? We don't need Joseph Smith, right? Because he's not my prophet. Jesus is my prophet, right? I do go to heaven. Not just 144,000 people go to heaven. I go to heaven. What makes you so special? Jesus, the blood, same thing that'll get you into heaven, got me into heaven, right? Amen. So the knowledge, the foundation truth of the Word of God keeps me error-proof. Amen. Now, yes, it's correcting me constantly, but it's the bedrock of the truth of who God is, right? His Word, His words, And so that's why it's important for Christians to be reading the Bible every day. Right? A chapter a day keeps the devil away. Amen? And walking in praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. These are glorious things, right? Amen. The eyes of your understanding, verse 18, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches, yes, riches, right, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. See, these are great things, right? Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above, verse 21, all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this great age, but also in the age that is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Somebody say, that's me. Yeah, right? What's in the middle of church? You are. Some of you might get that later, right? What's in the middle of church? You are. Yeah, you are. Amen. So see, you got some say, don't you, on this planet? You got some say in your house. You got the say, really. Amen? You ever heard that saying, what I say goes? Well, there's a truth to that. That's why you got to watch what you say. Amen. And me too, right? Which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The fullness of him. So see, Jesus isn't holding anything back. His plan for me is his fullness. His fullness is his plan for me. The knowledge of what, that's why we need to be growing in the knowledge of what he's done for us. Amen? And in mornings like this, where there are words of knowledge that start coming out, the Lord said, go ahead, do it. I said, I don't know what I'm going to say. He said, just start with Lacey and start working your way through, right? And he did it, didn't he? He had a word for everybody. He does that. That's, what is that? That's a manifestation of the Holy Ghost and the gift of the word of knowledge, right? But how many know that's not what we live by? Amen? I can't tell you how many friends I had back in my 20s when I was a single guy, bebopping around, bachelor of the church, right? Whatever. A lot of friends of mine that would come and say, hey, so-and-so prophesied to me that I'm supposed to marry her. Or, you know what, so-and-so says I'm supposed to marry that guy. Do you feel that? No. But they said it. They said it was of God. No. If that's not already in your heart, that God said something. See, when a word of knowledge comes, it should confirm something you already know. Something, or it might birth something, you know what I'm saying? But it's not something you live by, in other words. You filter it through the Holy Ghost in your own life, right? So many in the charismatic movement are just looking for the next show. Where's the next show at? Just point me to the place where they'll touch me and I'll go down and wake up and everything will be heavenly. No, you have to get yourself into this. And this is where the word of knowledge is. Right here. That's how you know who you are in Christ. And then occasionally when the Holy Ghost, you know, I've heard men of God before, Brother Copeland and others, that'll stop in the middle of the sermon and call somebody out. Hey, you right there. Stand up. And they'll give them a word and then just keep on preaching. What is that? Word of knowledge. But if everybody came looking for that and they left upset because the pastor didn't give me a word of knowledge, well, then their heart's off, right? Amen. I've had several throughout my life, but not all the time. Somebody calling me out. One of the most amazing ones was me and Shelly. And we met each other during an Easter production, and people are getting saved, and we kind of started liking each other. But I was the director of the production, and she was auditioning as a singer. And just an amazing story of how God brought that whole thing to be. Wonderful thing. And it was, you know, early winter, like 1999, I think. And we were getting ready for this big play, and I was the director. And they said, you know, the other directors that were with me, sound directors and music directors, said, you know, we should have a singing audition to see who else can sing around here. And I was like, you kidding me? This place is full of singers. Now see, first time director, I'm thinking I know it all, right? Listen, I got the big D in front of you, got little D. Well, I chose to listen to them. I said, you know what, you're probably right. But you know, American Idol was kind of new then, and I thought, these people, nobody, I know who can sing in this church. You do too. Well, no, we should see who else is out there. All right, so we had an audition. And there were other people that came that did have that no thing about you. And I'm not even a singer, and I know that's a no, right? Well, there was this girl named Shelly that her dad was telling her, hey, listen, they're having an audition at the church. And Shelly said, they know who all the singers are there. They don't need another singer. Yeah, I think you should go audition. Well, she submitted to her father and came and auditioned, and we met, and we started getting to know one another, right? But you have to watch it when you're directing a production like that as a bachelor, that you're not, you know, the rooster in the hen house, you know? I mean, there is some of that in the ministry where guys walk around, hey, look at sister so-and-so. Ooh, hey, sister. No, 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 none of that. You gotta keep your eyes on Jesus, brother, right? Amen. But there was something different about her I knew right away. And we started becoming friends, and but that production came to an end, and that was months. I mean, and when you're starting to fall in love with somebody, a day feels like forever, right? Just start looking forward to seeing each other, all these kind of things. And finally, the production came to an end. I said, you know, I'm not going to do anything, you know, making any steps toward this person until this thing is over, because we got to focus on the prize here, right? Well, it came to the last day, and we had a big you know, party for the cast and everything, and I'm speaking and sharing, and I'm thinking, where's Shelly? Shelly's not here. It's like kind of disappointed, you know? Well, she had got like a cake or something and was running late, and so finally I see her coming in, and I'm like walking around thanking everybody, and I finally was working my way toward where she was, and I sat down at a table that she happened to be sitting at. and the funny thing was, most people around us already knew something was going on. And this, I was in children's ministry, and this little girl sat down at the table and looked at us. She goes, Pastor Steve, are you going to marry her? And Shelly was like, why don't you go find your mom? Why don't you go find your mom? But anyway, after that, we decided we weren't done talking. So we closed the place down, and we ended up at Applebee's in Portland. Well, we're sitting there just having I don't know what we're in. Yeah, we were just looking at each other. And this woman that came up to our table, and she says, you know, I was watching you guys, and there's just something about you. God's got something special for you guys. And, you know, and I don't remember all she said, but she just went on prophesying to us about how God's got a plan for us together. And we just kind of, yeah, thank you. And we're like, do you know who that was? No. Do you know who that was? No, never seen her in my life. Right? What was that? Word of knowledge. Word of knowledge right there. And the Lord had already been obviously encouraging us to begin that walk, but it wasn't like it's happening today. But we knew, I didn't have to argue with that in my heart. I thought, you know what, Lord, I will allow that. If she's feeling this, but I didn't go on to prophesying to her, you hear what that woman of God said, you submit to, you know, no. It had to be both of us in that situation, right? And that's just one example, but it's a great one. And we began to build a friendship and fell in love, and the rest is history. Amen? But that's one way a word of knowledge has happened in my life that was like, wow, that is really amazing and wonderful and awesome. Right? But you're in an attitude of receiving from the Lord. Lord, I'm open to you. And later... a few weeks later, I'm the bachelor on staff, right? I'm in my 20s, and there's all these, and we had a big church, and there's, you know, several pastors that were like spiritual dads to me, really. Well, I went to meet her for lunch or something one day, and I'm coming back to the church, and the pastors are walking across the parking lot together. They just had lunch, and they're like, "Hey, Steve!" And Pastor Bob, you might remember him, he hollers out at me, and he goes, "Steve, I want you to know that when I saw that girl, I thought immediately, that's the wife for Steve Livengood." And I just said, "Hey, I'm working on it. I'm working on it." It's like he was calling the shot, right? What was that? Another little confirming thing. But we already knew in our hearts that, yeah, this is something that we're open to, and let's just, you know, but it's amazing. It's amazing how God works on our behalf and in our lives. Amen. A few of these verses here, Isaiah 53:11. "He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." So by his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many. What does that mean? That means I can't get saved by accident, right? And when you look at that, you can put words in there. I mean, you know, you don't want to say anything bizarre, but I can look at this. You test this in your own spirit, okay, by what you know of the Word of God. "By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall prosper many." Amen? "By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall heal many." Right? "For he shall bear their iniquities." He shall bear their sicknesses. He'll bear their poverty. Right? Amen. Somebody say, "I take it all, Lord." Right? And then what do? You get into the Word and you find out what it says about these things. Right? John 8:31-32. "Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth.'" See? "And the truth shall make you free." Amen. So the truth you know. I remember Pastor Huck many years ago. He probably still says this, right? "How many know the truth will set you free?" And everyone goes, "Yeah, amen." He goes, "No, it doesn't say that. The truth you know will set you free," right? So what do we got to do? Get busy knowing the truth. Know what the Word has for you, and you will become more free. The truth you know will make you rich. Let me just say that. The truth you know will heal you. The truth you know will break you free in every area of your life, right? Amen. So don't stop at salvation, church. Praise God for salvation. "When we all get to heaven, what a great of rejoicing that will be." Yeah, but what about Monday, September 17th, 2018? Right? The truth you know will break you free, man. Right? That's where we're at. Amen. That's where we're going. Amen. Proverbs 22:17. "Incline your ear to hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge." So see, I have a part to play, don't I? I have to apply myself. I'm working on it, honey. She was smiling at me like, I know. Just two more verses. "Incline your ear to hear the words of the wise, and apply your heart to my knowledge." Somebody say, get after it. Right? Go get it. That's another way to say it. Go get it. Like when I throw the ball for my dog, go get it. Go get it, right? Go find prosperity. Go find health. Go find the joy. Go find the peace. Dig it up in your word, right? That word apply means bring, consider, lay up, make, mark, right? Mark up your Bible. Get your highlighter, right? Put on. You got to put it on. Regard, set, be stayed, take. All these are great words to think of when you think of that word apply, right? I like that word put it on, man. Put on the word. Hallelujah. Habakkuk 2:14, two more verses. "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." So see, there's going to get a point in this world where there's no excuse for anybody, right? Everyone's going to know, yep, and they'll have the opportunity to accept or reject. But the thing there is, how's he going to fill the earth with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord? Through you. Through the church, right? Amen, right? And 2 Corinthians 2:14 confirms that when it says, Now give thanks. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Through us. Somebody say, through me. Right? So the fragrance of his knowledge is going to be diffused through you in every place. When you think about walking into one of those rooms and they've got one of those air fresheners and all of a sudden it smells like cinnamon. Right? Well, how pleasant. Depending on where you are, I guess, it can be pleasant. Right? But amen. That's what we're talking about here. When you are invested in the word of knowledge and the truth of God's word for your life, there ain't no talking you out of it. And people are going to know. Hallelujah. And they'll be touched with the power of God and come to the knowledge of Jesus themselves. Amen? Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you for the extra time this morning. Afternoon now, actually. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your knowledge for us, Lord God. We know your word is true. We know that Jesus died on the cross. We know that he raised again from the dead 3 days later. We know that he ascended on high to be at the right hand of the Father and sent us the Holy Ghost to be with us, to fill us up and lead us into all truth and remind us of the things that you've said and make our ears sensitive to your voice. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we thank you. Just lift your hands in that place of receiving and just say, Lord, I receive it all today. Everything you've done for me, I take it all. I take it all. I take it all. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just begin to thank him. Lord, we thank you and we praise you today. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you guys for hanging out a little longer today. And there are refreshments not far from here if you have a hankering. Amen.